Welcome to More Life Now, the radio outreach dedicated to helping you receive more of the abundant life God has given us. Today, Keith Moore is teaching from the Word of God, a series entitled, My Sheep Hear My Voice. Stay tuned, because at the end of this broadcast, we'll be giving you information on how you can receive a free copy of today's teaching. And now, Brother Moore.
In order to be in the family of God, you must be born again.
That's right.
By faith in Jesus.
Amen.
And unless you are, you're not in the family of God. And God is not your Father.
Right.
Now you hear people say, well, all these different religions, it's the same God by different names. No, honey, it's not. No, it's not. Well, everybody's just finding their own path to God. No, they're not. The Bible said there are many ways that seem right to people, and it leads to devastation and destruction and death. The Lord said there's a broad way, and many go in it, and it leads to destruction. They're going off the end. But there's a straight, and there's a narrow way, and relatively few that find it. Jesus is not a way. He's not one of many ways. He is the only way, the truth, and the light in life. He is the only. Well, y'all are just narrow-minded and saved.
Amen.
You can be broad-minded if you want to, but it's either true or it's not. Just because people make up stuff, and even just because they made up a religion 1,000 years ago, it was wrong then, it's wrong now. It's either true or it's not. You can't be a Bible-believing Christian and embrace all these other things. People say, well, I got a right to my beliefs. If Jesus is your Lord, you're supposed to believe what He told you to believe, not just make up stuff as you go along. Well, that little comment about being politically correct earlier set me up for that, didn't it? He said, verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me.
Amen.
Come on, say it again. How many think if you didn't get it the first time, you could have got it the second time, or the third time, or the fourth? Come on, say it out loud. I am His sheep.
I am His sheep.
I hear His voice.
I hear His voice.
I know His voice.
I know His voice.
He leads me.
He leads me.
And I follow Him.
And I follow Him.
Glory to God. Where does the good shepherd lead his sheep? He leads them to good places. Is that right? Fat pastures, still waters. Is that right? The 23rd Psalm. Protecting and keeping. And with long life, hallelujah, He satisfies us. Takes us all away. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Go with me, please, to the book of Acts. And the 15th chapter. I'm so thankful for the privilege of getting to handle the Word of God. It is so precious. And when something good and quickening and good comes through me, you understand I didn't think it up. Or any minister. The Lord gave it. I mean, today I was looking and preparing and studying and working on some things, and I thought, that's good, but that's not it. That's not good, that's great, but the Scripture is good, but it wasn't it. And after I had prepared a really good message, I got it. Something else. Hallelujah. I know one night I was seeking the Lord about ministry, and finally, you know, sometimes it seems like you get it quicker than others. And I got something in my spirit that I hadn't preached on. And I hadn't studied a whole lot on. And I thought, okay, I'm going to need to work on this some. So I studied till 2 or 3 in the morning. And I thought, okay, good. And I got up the next morning, think I'm good. I'm loaded for bear, you know. And the Lord said, no, that was just for you. Preach on this. Hallelujah. But you really want to preach on what He directs you to, because that's the only thing that's anointed.
Yes.
Everything else is just dead and dull and empty as last year's bird nest. Acts 15, we ended on this last time I spoke on this. We talked about how that the man of God, that the Lord told him don't stay and eat and drink in that place, and the other guy got him to ignore what the Lord told him. Remember that? And then we looked in Acts here where that the scripture said, Paul said he was bound in the spirit to go to Jerusalem. And then other people begin to tell him, don't go. Don't go. Now, if you weren't here, you can get the message. You can download it. It won't cost you anything. But it's important. It's just part one, kind of what we're doing now. Part A, I should say. What happened is he did not let them move him. And he said, no, I'm ready to die at Jerusalem. What mean ye to weep and break my heart about this? And so finally they quit saying, well, then the will of the Lord be done. So even though they were telling him don't go to Jerusalem, obviously they weren't convinced it wasn't God's will for him to go. Now notice in 25, when it came time for them to make some decisions as leaders of the church about what was doctrinally correct and what wasn't, this is how they said they came to their conclusions. Acts 15, 25. It seemed good to us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men to you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul. Somebody say it seemed good. Did you know that Dr. Luke said that's why he wrote the gospel account of Luke? You'd have to add to the scriptures to say that Dr. Luke had a vision or a dream or an angel told him to do it. He wrote the gospel account of Luke that you have because he said it seemed good. Well, I've asked this question before. Where's your seamer? If you said, he didn't say it felt like it. He didn't say I thought I should. He didn't say there was a lot of call for it. And request and demand. What did he say?
It seemed.
Come on, say this out loud. It seemed good. Where's your seamer? Not up here. This is your thinker. Your reasoner. And he's not talking about your emotions. Your feelings. Sometimes we use those words too loosely. I just felt like I should. Really, there are occasions where we should have said it seemed good. Because it wasn't a feeling. It was a perception. It seemed good to us. Now skip down to verse 28. And this is how they describe it again. For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. And so these are big questions they had about doctrine that affected all the churches. And how did they come to the conclusion? It seemed good. Here they said it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. Well, where is the Holy Spirit? He's in us. And when it seems good to Him, you can pick up that it seems good to Him because He's in your spirit.
Amen.
I mean, that could happen with me outside. If I'm sitting beside you and I'm happy about something, could you tell it?
Yeah.
Well, you could certainly tell it if somebody's beside you. What if they're in you? Well, you could tell it without any words being spoken. Well, there's somebody in you, in this body, beside you. There's another person. The Holy Spirit. He's in you. Didn't Jesus say He's with you, but He shall be in you. And He'll abide with you forever. And He is the agency by which we are directed and guided, led. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God. It seemed good. And down in verse 34, you don't see this in the King James, but it's the same Greek word. When different ones left and Silas was deciding whether to go back or to stay there, it said it pleased Silas to abide there still. He made the decision to stay there instead of returning home. Actually, the Young's literal translation says, guess what? It seemed good to Silas to remain there still. And the rest of the discourse follows who? Paul and Silas. He was in the right place at the right time for Paul to get somebody to go with him on this next trip. Why wasn't he back home? Didn't say he had a dream or heard a voice or had a vision. It just seemed good to stay there and not go back right now. And next thing you know, the narrative is following Paul and Silas. In the right place, at the right time. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Intersecting with the plan of God and the will of God. Yes. Why? Because he's led by the Spirit. Yes. But how did the Spirit lead him? How? Yes. It seemed good. Yes. We should pay attention to our seemer. Yes, sir. Somebody say it seemed good. It seemed good. Yes. Now go to the 21st chapter and let's review a little bit what we touched on last time. Paul said that everywhere he went, that people were telling him that bondage and affliction and problems were waiting on him in Jerusalem. And because of that, believers were telling him, don't go. Don't go. So much so that there's a number of theologians and preachers will try to tell you Paul missed God by going to Jerusalem. But I say confidently that that's not the case. That when he was born again on the road to Damascus, Jesus told him, you're going to bear my name before kings and Gentiles. I'm going to show you what things you must suffer for my name's sake. Didn't he tell him that? And that's exactly what happened. He stood in front of these kings and these rulers in handcuffs and he preached to them. Gave them his testimony. Didn't he? But these people were trying to tell him, but he would not be convinced. He was strong, and he knew the Lord, and he said he was bound in the Spirit. He had to go, and he told them, quit it. Quit it. Quit trying to break my heart over this thing. I'm going. Well, what if you die? Well, then I die. I'm ready to die. When you're no longer afraid of death, you are free. You will obey God. You'll find your faith. And your courage, but the fear of death holds you in bondage.
And that concludes today's message by Brother Keith Moore. If you would like a free copy of today's teaching from the series, My Sheep Hear My Voice, you may call More Life Ministries at 417-334-9233. That's 417-334-9233. Just mention that you heard this message on the radio. You may also download this and other messages from our website at morelifenow.org, where you will find additional information about this ministry, including an itinerary of upcoming meetings. Remember to join us in Branson, Missouri on Monday, October 5th, as we begin our week of increase. Thank you for joining us today, and be sure to tune in next time for More Life Now.